My name is Scott Phillips. I am blessed to pastor the group of people that call Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church their church home. If you need a church home, I invite you to come and worship with us. You might find a place to belong, to be loved, to be encouraged, to grow in your faith, and to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church is on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road, about a mile from Clinton, about 3 miles from Raymond, 4 or 5 miles from Byron, a couple of miles from Jackson, in the crossroads of Hines County, Western Hines County. Our Sunday morning service begins at 9:30 with prayer, 10 o'clock Sunday school for children and adults, worship at 10:45, and our midweek service is on Wednesday nights. Yes, have a great, great week, and if you were blessed by this, I encourage you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this from, and help us spread the word. That's our motivation. We want to be a blessing, and we hope it was a blessing to you today. God bless. Hello, and welcome to tonight's Bible study. Tonight we are going to talk about Jesus and the wisdom he taught while in his ministry. This is the fourth week talking about Jesus. This Bible study we started 16 weeks ago. We started in the book of Genesis. It is our intent to finish in the book of Revelations. And our general approach is to give an overview of the whole of Scripture. And our desire is that it would motivate you, inspire you to open up your Bible and read it for yourself. And while you read it, you have some context of the things that happen around what you're reading. And to cause you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because in the process of hunger and thirsting for righteousness, the seedbed of righteousness is the Word of God. The Word of God, in fact, is the seed as well for righteousness. You want to do well, you want to please God, you will find it in His book. It'll tell you how to do it. It gives you the recipes that are as old as the faith in God itself. You find it in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. You find it in Cain and Abel. And there is a central truth that you will find all the way to the very last things Jesus gave the church. And it's worth your time. And it could make a difference in your eternity, the Word of God. Everything I say, everything I believe must be rooted in the Word of God. We must not trust our eternity into the thoughts and the opinions and the wisdom of mankind. As it has been said in the Word of God, and I'll say again, let God be true and every man a liar. Anything you hear, anything you read, anything you see that is contrary and even puts itself in competition or contradiction to what the Scripture says is a lie. So I choose the Word of God. So this morning, I'm going to talk about something Jesus modeled in his own incarnation. As I've taught in the previous lessons, Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. No man hath seen God at any time. God is a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and blood. But Jesus, the Bible says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Colossians says that in him, in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily, and we are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus, who the Hebrew says is the express image of his person. Jesus, in whom it is written, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1, God was manifested in the flesh. Yes. So Jesus is the visible of the invisible. And in his ministry, in his teaching, though he never wrote a book, he taught his disciples, and through his disciples, the knowledge, the wisdom that Jesus gave them was encapsulated in what we have in our New Testament scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are all the expressions and the distillation of the wisdom of Jesus. It's said in the book of John that if everything was written that Jesus said and did, all the books that need to be written, earth could not contain them. So what that means is everything that is written by the providence and the wisdom of God is of utmost importance. People can talk about what Jesus might have said. They could talk about lost books and books of questionable origin. But we can trust these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can know that if it's in there, it is of the utmost importance because God caused these words to be written, to be included, and to be preserved to this year, 2023, almost 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. And so that's pretty awesome. It's birth and the death of Jesus Christ. So today I want to visit a story in the scripture that Jesus teaches some things that I believe that are incredibly important for us as believers if we want to fulfill and to model, to mirror the Jesus to the world around us, the Jesus that we believe. In John chapter 13, I'm going to read a few scriptures. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. So Jesus knew what Judas's plan was. He, Jesus, riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Simon saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, and therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is God, the Godhead, bodily in Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the person of God. Jesus is the one who said of himself, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, the God of heaven. Wrapped in flesh, took a towel and a basin of water and washed the feet of men, One would betray him, another would deny him, and all would desert him in just a few days. He knew it's about to happen. And so one of the last things Jesus does before crucifixion is he washes the feet of those who will be tested and will fail the test. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. Jesus washed the feet of Peter. Jesus washed the feet of all the 12. And he knew what was about to happen. And Jesus says, if I am your master and Lord, and I wash your feet, I serve you as a servant, though I am master and Lord. He is giving them an example of an attitude, a disposition, a spirit that we should have to one another. It wasn't enough for him to say, you need to be in a position of servants, service and help. You need to help one another. You need to bless one another. He didn't just say it. He modeled it. He exampled it. And then he told them, you see this way I'm serving you? You need to serve one another. How powerful is that? That is extremely powerful. That the God of heaven, manifested in the flesh, washes the feet of these flawed and men who will have their very faith tested. And they will fail the test. Peter will deny Jesus three times. He will curse. He will be totally despondent. They will all believe Jesus is dead and it is over. Yeah. And it is these men Jesus washes their feet. And I believe that it is important for us, those of us that really believe, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you want to model the attitude and spirit of Jesus Christ. It is important for us to recognize Jesus gives us an example of how we should live, not just to those that have done us wrong, but an example of that we should be to those that we suspect will do us wrong. We know what Jesus did for those who did him wrong. He's hanging on the cross. His last pronouncements toward the people is he looks up toward heaven and he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those that have nailed him, those that have beat him, those that have stripped him, those that betrayed him, those who did all of these things to the Savior of the world. His people, John says, it came unto his own and his own received him not. He prays, Father, forgive them. That's an example. We need to have a certain attitude toward those that we know or suspect will do us wrong. And we need to have that same type of attitude and spirit toward those who have done us wrong. It's a spirit of mercy. Pardon me. It's a spirit of grace. It is an understanding that this what I'm involved in is bigger than me. It's about the salvation of the world. It's bigger than my personality. It's bigger than my individual view of the world. God has put me here to see other people saved. And oftentimes the people the Lord has put you in their life to save them, you're going to have to go through some rejection. You're going to have to go through some shame. You're going to have to go through some rejection. You're going to have to go through some pain. But the purpose of your being there is to serve them, is to forgive them, is to pray for them. And if I would say that if there is a spirit that we as believers must seek to model is to model a spirit of humble humility to serve those who we believe God has put us in their life to see them saved. Now we know everyone at that table, Jesus washed their feet. One of them wasn't going to be saved. Even Jesus Christ himself washing their feet was not going to save him. And I believe the reason is his response. Rather than repenting, he hung himself. But Peter, on the other hand, he did wrong, but he repented. And though he was the one that had the greatest error of the living disciples, the prophetic promise, the prophetic declaration Jesus put on him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." His failure did not negate the purpose and the promise and desire God had for him, because it was Peter that stood really at the birth of the church, that preached in Acts chapter 2. He was potentially the least qualified because of his failure, but the Lord elevated him and anointed him. He had the keys of the kingdom. And it was Peter that preached for the first time the same message that the rest of the apostles preached. Even the apostle Paul preached and practiced the same message, method, pattern that would bring people from darkness to light, from strangers and pilgrims to the seed of Abraham. This message Peter preached. But before he preached, there was failure. Before he preached, he cursed, he denied. Some people will say, well, that invalidates everything Peter did. No, no. It is the fact of the power of the impartation of the Spirit of God that happens in Acts 2 and 1. He is converted from being a fearful and failing disciple into a Spirit-filled, bold apostle of God, whom Jesus used to open the door of the kingdom and preach the message of salvation. And Jesus speaks to this here in the last moments of his ministry. If ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am, if then your Lord and master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do these things. So there's a breakdown a lot of times. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. If you know these things and you do them, you will be joyful. You will be happy. You will be blessed. It's not enough to know we need to serve those that do us wrong. We need to serve those who potentially we are their mentor and we are a leader in their life. We must do what we know. It says in Scripture, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if you're sinning, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to have joy. You may gloss over it. You may ignore it. But the Scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. When you know there's something you should do and you don't do it, you know that condemnation you have, because you know, I know that I should be serving. I should be washing. I should be helping. I should be blessing. I should be forgiving. And when you don't do that, all you do is load up a weight of condemnation on your heart. And the solution is very easy: to forgive those that do you wrong, serve those, bless those, help those that you know failures in their future. Because it's just the way. Those that failed ended up being the greatest tools whom God would use for his kingdom. Look, the Apostle Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. And yet the Lord in his grace called him, converted him, gave him a revelation that Jesus was not some sect leader, some antichrist. That Jesus was in fact Lord and Christ. Who are you, Jesus? And Jesus says, I am. Who are you, Lord? He says. And the Lord says, I am Jesus. Conversion. He sees Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Lord of heaven, in his ministry, in the last moments of his life, before he's betrayed, before he's shamed, before he's beat, before he's nailed to a cross, before he dies, before he's resurrected. He knows what's coming. His time is short. He washes the feet of his disciples. Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. Because I can't be that way. I can't do these things Jesus gives me an example and a command to do, except the Spirit of the Lord help me. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That my heart is wicked. We all want to say my heart's good. God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart. He knows what you've been thinking about. Don't buy the lie that just because God knows your heart, you get a pass. No, God knows your heart. And that's why you're headed for judgment. You got to have God clean your heart. You got to have God bring conversion to your life. God needs to do something in you that hasn't been done yet. Yes. In Matthew chapter 23, it's the same setting. It's not the same city. It's something that the Lord does. It's one of the last things Jesus teaches. It's not the setting of him washing the feet of his disciples, but it's one of the last things Jesus teaches. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." So Jesus essentially says the scribes and the Pharisees have a position of authority and you should respect them. What they say is wise, but don't do what they do. What they say is wise, don't do what they do. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries," which is a religious symbol, "and enlarge the borders of their garments. They dress in the holy garments. And they love the uppermost room at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue." They want the best seats in the church, if you will, in the temple. "And they love to be greeted in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." He's saying, don't let people call you Father as a place of ministry. You only have one Father as a place of ministry. We all have. He's not talking about, "I'll call you Dad, Daddy." He's saying, don't call a religious leader Father, because there's only one Father of faith, and it's God. "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you," this is Jesus teaching what he illustrates, "but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted." You know, we live in a culture that loves image. They want to be seen. They want to be celebrated. They want to be honored. Oh, we love to be honored. I remember one time I was dealing with someone in ministry. I feel like the Lord put me in their life to help them to be more effective. And I noticed over time they were just beating their chest. "I'm the man of God. I'm the prophet. I'm the priest. I'm the bishop." Just all this, you know, blowing trumpets for themselves. And I know on a number of occasions I went to him and said, look, brother, if the Lord wants to celebrate you, he'll bring people in your life to do that. But when you do that for yourself, you look like a fool. Now, I talk pretty direct. I had a relationship with him. This isn't just me coming in and talking to somebody I didn't know. I love this person. And I had a history of being a blessing to this person. I wanted to help this person. And I believe the Lord gave me that wisdom and gave me that direction. Tell this man to quit bragging on himself and celebrating himself and raising himself up to be something. He didn't listen. You know, and I think that's such a tragic thing is you find in the scripture there were places where people tried to worship angels, and they said, hey, don't worship me. And you see where the apostles were given credit for the miracles that were done, and they said, don't worship us. But sadly, we live in a day where there are men, and I believe they expose the corruption of their heart and intent because they allow men, women, the religious structure around them to worship them, to deify them, to give them all kinds of accolades, and they let it happen. And the end of that is, in time, many of those same people end up being the examples of bad stuff. The pride that they harbor and allow people to put in them and to puff up in them, it causes them to be not just curse themselves, they curse others because people put so much faith in the individual where that person pointed all glory and honor to God. God, help us never to glory in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord uses you or uses me to be a blessing to other people, we can do nothing good except God be with us. I've never healed anybody, but I know a God that can. And I believe just a humble attitude. I believe in the power of prayer. If I pray for someone and they receive healing, it wasn't me. It wasn't my name. It wasn't my blood. It wasn't my kingdom. It wasn't the stripes on my back. It was Jesus. Just the other day, I have a dear brother. He expressed to me he hadn't been able to sleep well in months. He just can't sleep. And I felt prompted in my spirit, let's pray. And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And I got a text from him just the other day. I've slept better the past few nights than I've slept in months. When I read that, I didn't think, wow, man, I am powerful. Check me out. I felt led of the Spirit and I prayed my holy prayer. And oh, he was healed. No. No. No, that's not my attitude. Surely shouldn't be our attitude. Jesus loves this man. Jesus took stripes on his back for this man. Jesus told us that in his name we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not in our name. We're just simply being a vessel from which Jesus flows. It was the power of God working through a simple vessel. I just believe the Lord could help the man. And I rejoice the Lord helped him. And I share this just to be an example of the fact God can use anybody. It doesn't require anybody to be perfect. It doesn't require anybody to have a degree. It doesn't require anybody to have approval of institutions. In fact, a person can be, well, the Lord used a donkey in the Bible. And some people, that's what they are. They're stubborn, they're obstinate, but in a moment, the Lord can't find anybody else. He'll use a donkey. He could use me. It doesn't mean anything to my personal value. Just means God can use anything. And I believe he wants to use imperfect people. You say, well, I'm just so imperfect. Well, join the club. All of us are imperfect. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath been revealed to all men, teaching us, showing us, leading us, guiding us, filling us, transforming us. The grace of God can cause the greatest enemy of the church to become the greatest apostle of the church. The grace of God transformed the denier of Christ, became the apostle of Christ. Sometimes failure is what qualifies us for God to use us, because then we will know it's not me, it's God. And I believe the Spirit that must infuse us as believers in a culture that says, worship me, look at me, celebrate me, look at what I did, that the church would have a humble a humble heart that submits to God's will and refuses to take any credit and refuses to take any glory. Jesus said, if you give, give in secret. If you pray, pray in secret. If you fast, fast in secret. Because what you do in secret is what the Lord celebrates. Now, sometimes, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying in church out loud. But if that's the only time you pray, and you're just praying because people might hear you, you may be getting good credit for praying. No. It's our secret devotion that God blesses. It's what is the very essence of who we are. And I know we all sometimes miss the mark, sometimes, many times, sometimes all the time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm dressed up. It's Sunday. I do this Bible study on Sunday morning. Sunday's busy. Monday's busy. So I do this on Sunday morning. So this morning, another lesson about Jesus. You know, I spent 12 weeks in the Old Testament. I spent a week talking about Moses. I spent a week talking about Abraham. I spent a week talking about Joseph. I spent one lesson. I spent one lesson talking about David. And I've been here 4 weeks talking about Jesus. And I'm going to talk about what Jesus taught, because this is important. It's vital. If you are going to be a believer, of all the things you know, you need to know what Jesus taught. What is the essence and the spirit and the character and the virtue that Jesus commanded for those that would believe him? And one of the characteristics God requires for those who are his believers, his disciples, is that they would have a humble heart that serves the good of others. Others as in those that are going to do you wrong. Serve the good of others who have done you wrong. Because your service to them is not a reflection of you necessarily of your estimation of them. Your service to them is your estimation of God and God's potential in them. Jesus washed the potential of Peter as well as washed the potential of Judas. He is so good. I mean, how many times have I failed the Lord? Oh. How many times? Too many times. But the Lord has been gracious to me, and I am so thankful for his grace. Amen. Father, help me today. Help me to be a servant to the good, the God, the potential, the hope, the promise that you have for them. Though one may be a Judas, you gave yourself a Judas. And I've seen that sometimes you give us a Judas to test us. Lord, sometimes you give us a cross to see if we are willing to forgive those that crucify us proverbially, maybe with their mouth or their acts or their deeds. Lord, help us to pass the test. Help us to bless those who curse us, to pray for those that do us wrong, to want the good, to wash the feet. Lord, to believe in the potential of those who at the moment are so far away from God. Help us to reflect and echo, to be a light of hope to those that sit in darkness. To be able to preach liberty to those that are bruised and are bound in the chains of pain and addiction. Help us today. We cannot do this without you. But we believe through your spirit, through your grace, through your power, through your word, through your blood, that Lord, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I thank you for that today. Yes, yes. So I pray that you have a blessed week. It is my prayer. It's my prayer. Everyone that watches this would be hungry and thirsty to know more about the Word, to know more about Jesus. My name is Scott Phillips. I am blessed to pastor the group of people that call Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church their church home. If you need a church home, I invite you to come and worship with us. You might find a place to belong, to be loved, to be encouraged, to grow in your faith, and to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church is on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road, about a mile from Clinton, about 3 miles from Raymond, 4 or 5 miles from Byron, a couple of miles from Jackson, in the crossroads of Hinds County, Western Hinds County. Our Sunday morning service begins at 9:30 with prayer, 10 o'clock Sunday school for children and adults, worship at 10:45, and our midweek service is on Wednesday nights. Yes, have a great, great week, and if you were blessed by this, I encourage you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this from, and help us spread the word. That's our motivation. We want to be a blessing, and we hope it was a blessing to you today. God bless. My name is Scott Phillips. I am blessed to pastor the group of people that call Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church their church home. If you need a church home, I invite you to come and worship with us. You might find a place to belong, to be loved, to be encouraged, to grow in your faith, and to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church is on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road, about a mile from Clinton, about 3 miles from Raymond, 4 or 5 miles from Byron, a couple of miles from Jackson, in the crossroads of Hinds County, Western Hinds County. Our Sunday morning service begins at 9:30 with prayer, 10 o'clock Sunday school for children and adults, worship at 10:45, and our midweek service is on Wednesday nights. Yes, have a great, great week, and if you were blessed by this, I encourage you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this from, and help us spread the word. That's our motivation. We want to be a blessing, and we hope it was a blessing to you today. God bless. Hello, and welcome to tonight's Bible study. Tonight we are going to talk about Jesus and the wisdom he taught while in his ministry. This is the fourth week talking about Jesus. This Bible study we started 16 weeks ago. We started in the book of Genesis. It is our intent to finish in the book of Revelations. And our general approach is to give an overview of the whole of Scripture. And our desire is that it would motivate you, inspire you to open up your Bible and read it for yourself. And while you read it, you have some context of the things that happen around what you're reading. And to cause you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because in the process of hunger and thirsting for righteousness, the seedbed of righteousness is the Word of God. The Word of God, in fact, is the seed as well for righteousness. You want to do well, you want to please God, you will find it in His book. It'll tell you how to do it. It gives you the recipes that are as old as the faith in God itself. You find it in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. You find it in Cain and Abel. And there is a central truth that you will find all the way to the very last things Jesus gave the church. And it's worth your time. And it could make a difference in your eternity, the Word of God. Everything I say, everything I believe must be rooted in the Word of God. We must not trust our eternity into the thoughts and the opinions and the wisdom of mankind. as it has been said in the Word of God, and I'll say again, let God be true, and every man a liar. Anything you hear, anything you read, anything you see that is contrary and even puts itself in competition or contradiction to what the Scripture says is a lie. So I choose the Word of God. So this morning, I'm going to talk about something Jesus modeled in His own incarnation. As I've taught in the previous lessons, Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. No man hath seen God at any time. God is a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and blood. But Jesus, the Bible says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Colossians says that in Him, in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily, and we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus, who the Hebrew says is the express image of His person. Jesus, in whom it is written, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1, God was manifested in the flesh. Yes. So Jesus is the visible of the invisible. And in His ministry, in His teaching, though He never wrote a book, He taught His disciples, and through His disciples, the knowledge, the wisdom that Jesus gave them was encapsulated in what we have in our New Testament scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are all the expressions and the distillation of the wisdom of Jesus. It's said in the book of John that if everything was written that Jesus said and did, all the books that need to be written, earth could not contain them. So what that means is everything that is written by the providence and the wisdom of God is of utmost importance. People can talk about what Jesus might have said. They could talk about lost books and books of questionable origin, but we can trust these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can know that if it's in there, it is of the utmost importance because God caused these words to be written, to be included, and to be preserved to this year, 2023, almost 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. And so that's pretty awesome. It's birth and the death of Jesus Christ. So today I want to visit a story in the Scripture that Jesus teaches some things that I believe that are incredibly important for us as believers if we want to fulfill and to model, to mirror the Jesus to the world around us, the Jesus that we believe. In John chapter 13, I'm going to read a few scriptures. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper. So Jesus knew what Judas's plan was. He, Jesus, riseth from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Simon saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do Thou knowest not, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, Thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, and therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is God, the Godhead, bodily in Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the person of God. Jesus is the one who said of himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The God of heaven, wrapped in flesh, took a towel and a basin of water and washed the feet of men. One would betray him, another would deny him, and all would desert him in just a few days. He knew it's about to happen. And so one of the last things Jesus does before crucifixion is he washes the feet of those who will be tested and will fail the test. Yeah. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. Jesus washed the feet of Peter. Jesus washed the feet of all the 12. And he knew what was about to happen. And Jesus says, if I am your Master and Lord, and I wash your feet, I serve you as a servant, though I am Master and Lord. He is giving them an example of an attitude, a disposition, a spirit that we should have to one another. It wasn't enough for him to say, you need to be in a position of servants, service and help. You need to help one another. You need to bless one another. He didn't just say it. He modeled it. He exampled it. And then he told them, you see this way I'm serving you? You need to serve one another. How powerful is that? That is extremely powerful. That the God of heaven, manifested in the flesh, washes the feet of these flawed and men who will have their very faith tested, and they will fail the test. Peter will deny Jesus three times. He will curse. He will be totally despondent. They will all believe Jesus is dead and it is over. Yeah. And it is these men Jesus washes their feet. And I believe that it is important for us, those of us that really believe, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you want to model the attitude and spirit of Jesus Christ. It is important for us to recognize Jesus gives us an example of how we should live, not just to those that have done us wrong, but an example of that we should be to those that we suspect will do us wrong. We know what Jesus did for those who did him wrong. He's hanging on the cross. His last pronouncements toward the people is he looks up toward heaven and he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those that have nailed him, those that have beat him, those that have stripped him, those that betrayed him, those who who did all of these things to the Savior of the world, his people. John says it came unto his own, and his own received him not. He prays, Father, forgive them. That's an example. We need to have a certain attitude toward those that we know or suspect will do us wrong. And we need to have that same type of attitude and spirit toward those who have done us wrong. It's a spirit of mercy. Pardon me. It's a spirit of grace. It is an understanding that this what I'm involved in is bigger than me. It's about the salvation of the world. It's bigger than my personality. It's bigger than my individual view of the world. God has put me here to see other people saved. And oftentimes the people the Lord has put you in their life to save them, you're going to have to go through some rejection. You're going to have to go through some shame. You're going to have to go through some rejection. You're going to have to go through some pain. But the purpose of your being there is to serve them, is to forgive them, is to pray for them. And if I would say that if there is a spirit that we as believers must seek to model, is to model a spirit of humble humility to serve those who we believe God has put us in their life to see them saved. Now we know everyone at that table, Jesus washed their feet. One of them wasn't going to be saved. Even Jesus Christ himself washing their feet was not going to save him. And I believe the reason is his response. Rather than repenting, he hung himself. But Peter, on the other hand, he did wrong, but he repented. And though he was the one that had the greatest error of the living disciples, the prophetic promise, the prophetic declaration Jesus put on him, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. His failure did not negate the purpose and the promise and desire God had for him, because it was Peter that stood really at the birth of the church, that preached in Acts chapter 2. He was potentially the least qualified because of his failure, but the Lord elevated him and anointed him. He had the keys of the kingdom. And it was Peter that preached for the first time the same message that the rest of the apostles preached. Even the apostle Paul preached and practiced the same message, method, pattern that would bring people from darkness to light, from strangers and pilgrims to the seed of Abraham. This message Peter preached. But before he preached, there was failure. Before he preached, he cursed, he denied. Some people will say, well, that invalidates everything Peter did. No. It is the fact of the power of the impartation of the Spirit of God that happens in Acts 2 and 1. He is converted from being a fearful and failing disciple into a Spirit-filled, bold apostle of God, whom Jesus used to open the door of the kingdom and preach the message of salvation. And Jesus speaks to this here in the last moments of his ministry. If ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am, if then your Lord and master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do these things. So there's a breakdown a lot of times. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. If you know these things and you do them, you will be joyful. You will be happy. You will be blessed. It's not enough to know we need to serve those that do us wrong. We need to serve those who potentially we are their mentor and we are a leader in their life. We must do what we know. It says in Scripture, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if you're sinning, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to have joy. You may gloss over it. You may ignore it. But the Scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. When you know there's something you should do and you don't do it, you know that condemnation you have, because you know, I know that I should be serving, I should be washing, I should be helping, I should be blessing, I should be forgiving. And when you don't do that, all you do is load up a weight of condemnation on your heart. And the solution is very easy: to forgive those that do you wrong, serve those, bless those, help those that you know failures in their future, because it's just the way. Those that failed ended up being the greatest tools whom God would use for his kingdom. Look, the Apostle Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. And yet the Lord in his grace called him, converted him, gave him a revelation that Jesus was not some sect leader, some antichrist, that Jesus was in fact Lord and Christ. Who are you, Jesus? And Jesus says, I am. Who are you, Lord? He says. And the Lord says, I am Jesus. Conversion. He sees Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Lord of heaven, in his ministry, in the last moments of his life, before he's betrayed, before he's shamed, before he's beat, before he's nailed to a cross, before he dies, before he's resurrected, he knows what's coming. His time is short. He washes the feet of his disciples. Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. Because I can't be that way. I can't do these things Jesus gives me an example and a command to do, except the Spirit of the Lord help me. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That my heart is wicked. We all want to say my heart's good. God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart. He knows what you've been thinking about. Don't buy the lie that just because God knows your heart, you get a pass. No, God knows your heart. And that's why you're headed for judgment. You got to have God clean your heart. You got to have God bring conversion to your life. God needs to do something in you that hasn't been done yet. Yes. In Matthew chapter 23, it's the same setting. It's not the same city. It's something that the Lord does. It's one of the last things Jesus teaches. It's not the setting of him washing the feet of his disciples, but it's one of the last things Jesus teaches. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So Jesus essentially says the scribes and the Pharisees have a position of authority and you should respect them. What they say is wise, but don't do what they do. What they say is wise, don't do what they do. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, which is a religious symbol, and enlarge the borders of their garments. They dress in the holy garments. And they love the uppermost room at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. They want the best seats in the church, if you will, in the temple. And they love to be greeted in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. He's saying, don't let people call you Father as a place of ministry. You only have one Father as a place of ministry. We all have. He's not talking about, I'll call you Dad, Daddy. He's saying, don't call a religious leader father, because there's only one father of faith, and it's God. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, this is Jesus teaching what he illustrates. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. You know, we live in a culture that loves image. They want to be seen. They want to be celebrated. They want to be honored. Oh, we love to be honored. I remember one time I was dealing with someone in ministry. I feel like the Lord put me in their life to help them to be more effective. And I noticed over time they were just beating their chest. I'm the man of God. I'm the prophet. I'm the priest. I'm the bishop. Just all this, you know, blowing trumpets for themselves. And I know on a number of occasions I went to him and said, look, brother, if the Lord wants to celebrate you, he'll bring people in your life to do that. But when you do that for yourself, you look like a fool. Now, I talk pretty direct. I had a relationship with him. This isn't just me coming in and talking to somebody I didn't know. I love this person, and I had a history of being a blessing to this person. I wanted to help this person. And I believe the Lord gave me that wisdom and gave me that direction. Tell this man to quit bragging on himself and celebrating himself and raising himself up to be something. He didn't listen. He didn't listen. You know, and I think that's such a tragic thing is you find in the scripture there were places where people tried to worship angels, and they said, hey, don't worship me. And you see where the apostles were given credit for the miracles that were done, and they said, don't worship us. But sadly, we live in a day where there are men, and I believe they expose the corruption of their heart and intent, because they allow men, women, the religious structure around them to worship them, to deify them, to give them all kinds of accolades, and they let it happen. And the end of that is, in time, many of those same people end up being the examples of bad stuff. The pride that they harbor and allow people to put in them and to puff up in them, it causes them to be not just curse themselves, they curse others, because people put so much faith in the individual where that person pointed all glory and honor to God. God, help us never to glory in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord uses you or uses me to be a blessing to other people, we can do nothing good except God be with us. I've never healed anybody, but I know a God that can. And I believe just a humble attitude. I believe in the power of prayer. If I pray for someone and they receive healing, it wasn't me. It wasn't my name. It wasn't my blood. It wasn't my kingdom. It wasn't the stripes on my back. It was Jesus. Just the other day, I have a dear brother. He expressed to me he hadn't been able to sleep well in months. He just can't sleep. And I felt prompted in my spirit, let's pray. And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And I got a text from him just the other day. I've slept better the past few nights than I've slept in months. When I read that, I didn't think, wow, man, I am powerful. Check me out. I felt led of the Spirit, and I prayed my holy prayer, and oh, he was healed. No. No. That's not my attitude. Surely shouldn't be our attitude. Jesus loves this man. Jesus took stripes on his back for this man. Jesus told us that in his name we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not in our name. We're just simply being a vessel from which Jesus flows. It was the power of God working through a simple vessel. I just believe the Lord could help the man. And I rejoice the Lord helped him. And I share this just to be an example of the fact God can use anybody. It doesn't require anybody to be perfect. It doesn't require anybody to have a degree. It doesn't require anybody to have approval of institutions. In fact, a person can be, well, the Lord used a donkey in the Bible. And some people, that's what they are. They are, they're stubborn, they're obstinate, but in a moment, the Lord can't find anybody else. He'll use a donkey. He could use me. It doesn't mean anything to my personal value. It just means God can use anything. And I believe He wants to use imperfect people. You say, well, I'm just so imperfect. Well, join the club. All of us are imperfect. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath been revealed to all men, teaching us, showing us, leading us, guiding us, filling us, transforming us. The grace of God can cause the greatest enemy of the church to become the greatest apostle of the church. The grace of God transformed the denier of Christ, became the apostle of Christ. Sometimes failure is what qualifies us for God to use us, because then we will know it's not me, it's God. And I believe the Spirit that must infuse us as believers in a culture that says, worship me, look at me, celebrate me, look at what I did, that the church would have a humble heart that submits to God's will and refuses to take any credit and refuses to take any glory. Jesus said, if you give, give in secret. If you pray, pray in secret. If you fast, fast in secret. Because what you do in secret is what the Lord celebrates. Now, sometimes, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying in church out loud. But if that's the only time you pray, and you're just praying because people might hear you, you may be getting good credit for praying. No, it's our secret devotion that God blesses. It's what is the very essence of who we are. And I know we all sometimes miss the mark, sometimes many times, sometimes all the time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm dressed up. It's Sunday. I do this Bible study on Sunday morning. Sunday's busy, Monday's busy, so I do this on Sunday morning. So this morning, another lesson about Jesus. You know, I spent 12 weeks in the Old Testament. I spent a week talking about Moses. I spent a week talking about Abraham. I spent a week talking about Joseph. I believe I spent I spent one lesson talking about David. And I've been here 4 weeks talking about Jesus. And I'm going to talk about what Jesus taught, because this is important. It's vital. If you are going to be a believer, of all the things you know, you need to know what Jesus taught. What is the essence and the spirit and the character and the virtue that Jesus commanded for those that would believe him? And one of the characteristics God requires for those who are his believers, his disciples, is that they would have a humble heart that serves the good of others. Others as in those that are going to do you wrong. Serve the good of others who have done you wrong, because your service to them is not a reflection of you necessarily of your estimation of them. Your service to them is your estimation of God and God's potential in them. Jesus washed the potential of Peter as well as washed the potential of Judas. He is so good. I mean, how many times have I failed the Lord? Oh. How many times? How many times? Too many times. But the Lord has been gracious to me, and I am so thankful for His grace. Amen. Father, help me today. Help me to be a servant to the good, the God, the potential, the hope, the promise that You have for them. Though one may be a Judas, You gave Yourself a Judas. And I've seen that sometimes You give us a Judas to test us. Lord, sometimes You give us a cross to see if we are willing to forgive those that crucify us proverbially, maybe with their mouth or their acts or their deeds. Lord, help us to pass the test. Help us to bless those who curse us, to pray for those that do us wrong, to want the good, to wash the feet. Lord, to believe in the potential of those who at the moment are so far away from God. Help us to reflect and echo, to be a light of hope to those that sit in darkness, to be able to preach liberty to those that are bruised and are bound in the chains of pain and addiction. Help us today. We cannot do this without You, but we believe through Your Spirit, through Your grace, through Your power, through Your word, through Your blood, that, Lord, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I thank You for that today. Yes, yes. So I pray that you have a blessed week. It is my prayer. It's my prayer. Everyone that watches this would be hungry and thirsty to know more about the Word, to know more about Jesus. My name is Scott Phillips. I am blessed to pastor the group of people that call Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church their church home. If you need a church home, I invite you to come and worship with us. You might find a place to belong, to be loved, to be encouraged, to grow in your faith, and to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church is on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road, about a mile from Clinton, about 3 miles from Raymond, 4 or 5 miles from Byron, couple of miles from Jackson, in the crossroads of Hinds County, Western Hinds County. Our Sunday morning service begins at 9:30 with prayer, 10 o'clock Sunday school for children and adults, worship at 10:45, and our midweek service is on Wednesday nights. Yes, have a great, great week, and if you were blessed by this, I encourage you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this from, and help us spread the word. That's our motivation. We want to be a blessing, and we hope it was a blessing to you today. God bless.